May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. During my 2 weeks of vacation, Ellen and I took one of those weeks to explore locally within Kentucky, a state which we have never been to before this year. And we as well made an overnight trip to Cincinnati. We had never been to Cincinnati either, and found the city and people to be delightful. What we really enjoyed, though, was the spirit we found at Fountain Square on Thursday evening. Following dinner, we went over to the square where a live salsa band was playing, and a great number of people were dancing. So we joined them. It was easy to do because there was no entrance fee. The crowd was a diverse one of all ages, ethnic groups, I suspect faiths, and all walks of life. There was a great party atmosphere of people smiling and enjoying. What we sensed there was community and joy, perhaps in the least likely of places, an urban center. The gospel story before us this Sunday is part of Christ's larger discourse on the meaning of the true bread of life. Jesus says to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." And then, referring to himself, he says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The people, without hesitation, respond to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." The words of Jesus address the very fundamental truth that we are created with a yearning for community and a desire for God. At our birth, the remarkable thing is that there is no one that exists in this entire world of over 7 billion people that is exactly like you. That's a remarkable thing to comprehend. And so, in that knowledge, though, as well, there is an inherent loneliness. Let me say what I mean. No one thinks exactly like you. No one feels exactly like you, experiences the universe exactly like you, is hearing this sermon exactly like you, nor believes exactly like you. It is a community, then, that draws out of us this loneliness. And I believe the reason that God has placed this longing for community as well in our hearts and souls. One of the central acts of Christ in his lifetime was to form a community around him, and then to ensure that following his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, that the community, the ecclesia, the called out, the church, would survive, would continue, and not only continue, but would flourish. You see, the real opposite of community is not loneliness, but rather isolation. And isolation is not healthy for the human spirit. Isolation, in many ways, is the antithesis of what God's goodness and God's grace, God's very heart, wants for you. Isolation is often the place where evil dwells and has its way. Just look at the profiles of those individuals who commit horrific acts of violence, like that of the Aurora, Colorado theater shootings. And you will usually find a person who became more and more withdrawn from society and community, someone who became more and more isolated. The goodness and grace of God that calls each of us to community with one another is what we're experiencing. And for the Christian, that is specifically around the Holy Table, sharing in the Word of God professed, and sharing in the bread of life, which Jesus claims to be. Each of you here today, I am sure, can name some places apart from the church where you personally find community. Your neighborhood. I shared with the 8 o'clock congregation, I believe, that my wife, Ellen, was present at 8 today. She's working now at the hospital. My wife, at our very first homeowners association meeting, became the president. By the way, they asked me, and what I would consider a very sexist way, they had never had a woman be the president. And so Ellen whispered to me, take it and I'll do the work. And I said, no, you'll be the president. And you will. So it was an historic moment in our subdivision, our of farms, a woman president. I told Ellen we would fly the flag on the farm when she's in residence at the house. But we have community, don't we? We have neighborhoods, we have civic organizations, we have clubs. Some of you probably have golfing or tennis buddies, and perhaps even your place of work is community for you. Yet the church is different, because at its best, it addresses our yearning for God. Additionally, when the church is true to the gospel, we are stretched, because the community of faith will not be made up of like-minded believers that agree with each other on every belief, every practice, and every decision. Homan and Pratt, in their book that came out in 2010 called Radical Hospitality, write the following. When we create a life surrounded by people just like ourselves, it is a very narrow life. We will not be challenged by such a life. We cave in on ourselves. Our minds and spirits shrink to the pea size of our world. They write, it is the kind of life that allows us to settle for easy answers based solely on personal experience. They conclude, letting ourselves believe that our experiences constitute normality and that other ways of doing life are abnormal is both delusional and dangerous. Radical hospitality in the church. We are now at St. John's beginning to experience community anew. I know it because you are telling me that. You have emailed me, you have called me, you have said to me that you have felt community more powerfully than ever. And a primary call of God within this community is for us to remind one another that we are the beloved of God. And we say that with humility. We say to each other and remind one another that you're beloved of God, that each person that comes through our doors, here, or at chapel, our beloved of God, we welcome them for who they are. We welcome them for who they are, created like you and me with a yearning for God. As such, we are called as well to grow in our membership, to grow in our mission, to grow in our ministry. We are being called to do new things in new ways, to address the new times in which we find ourselves. It is not that the faith of the church given to us by Christ, the apostles, the early church fathers and mothers, or our ancestors here at St. John's has changed. Rather, our culture and understanding in the 21st century are changing. What has not changed, though, is our need for community. Our need for community, hopefully this community of St. John's, to hear God's word and receive the bread of life. I conclude with Paul's voice today that we heard read in Ephesians. He's writing the church in Ephesus, and he says to them, "But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promoting the body's growth, is building itself up in love." May these words guide us as we experience this community, and as I pray, you find God. Amen.